Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope.
On who and what was thrown at that gentleman, and that gentleman has been ejected, but it was an ugly, ugly sight. I can't circle. I don't have my Telestrator today, but here comes a pizza. See it? Oh, jeez.
Highly unnecessary.
And the Bulldog.
Guy with the Patriots jacket, and of course he's been asked to leave the ball game for ruining a good piece of pizza. Get beer all over it. And here comes
some pizza.
On WGR.
That was an awful sight here at Fenway, and that kid, that is not tolerated in this ballpark. He has been ejected and never again allowed to buy pizza.
Sports Radio 550.
So today's an interesting day, I think. Like, it was a little weird this year having the Bills be in the playoffs. But they were only in the first round of the playoffs, and, you know, apart from that element yesterday, which was no small thing, that for a while there you're thinking the Bills could have been at home in the AFC Championship
next
week.
Kansas City was just going to give you a game. Like, you know, too bad I couldn't be there for that. Fumble another punt.
Yeah, like at 24-0, what are their odds?
Right.
So that would have been tough this week, right? That would have been tough. But apart from that, I think today, I feel like this is probably usually what I'm thinking. That it's one of three things on the show. That it's the playoff games, that it's next year's Bills, or that it's hockey. It's definitely not going to be hockey.
Yeah, no, let's
right. Just, hockey's out.
Let's just
for now.
Leave that. Tomorrow's hockey.
Make a real trade and it becomes hockey.
There's a game tomorrow. We'll deal with that tomorrow.
Make a real trade right now.
Oh, it's hockey right now.
I mean, like if you make a real trade right now, then it's a hockey show.
Right.
Until then, you know, come on.
Yeah.
So there's next year's Bills and then these games, and it's, you know, they should kind of work together.
Mm-hmm.
I like these games to some extent, details, but you can go a lot of places for that. And they're also a little bit old news. Like, the Baltimore game is the most interesting game of the weekend to me, but that's like 2 days ago. I mean, so, you know, I've got things to say about that. But what I like is, what do these games do to affect or to shape your feelings about next year's Bills? And that can be lots of different things. That can be how they compare just overall with the teams that are still playing or teams that lost. You've got the Patriots for this from last week, too. And it can be players. It can be trends. This year's great for upending certain not like rules about the NFL or about football, but just sort of trends.
Yeah.
And you've got the way Tennessee is running it, the way San Francisco plays. Even Baltimore,
yeah. I mean, three of the teams in the final eight were primarily teams that, like, they emphasize the run. I mean, some more heavily than the others, but still, like, they are predicated on that, which is kind of, you know, that sort of flies in the face of it's a passing league, where are my 300-yard games, accuracy, all that. So I think that that's, you know, that's always worth, you know, investing in. And, you know, you weren't going to be able to come through with all three of them because two of those teams were playing one another on Saturday night in Baltimore, and Tennessee came through that. But, yeah, I think that's notable. It's funny. I got up today, and, of course, I watched all day yesterday. I did not spend any time really at all with Minnesota-San Francisco. And that was just sort of the way my day went Saturday. And also, like, well, there's three games after that one and whatever. You know, I just sort of felt like it probably had the potential to be the least interesting game, and I guess it turns out that that was right. Because even though Tennessee-Baltimore was kind of one-sided,
it was interesting.
It was interesting that that was happening and that Baltimore put up like crazy amount of yards, but just could not convert fourth downs and had the turnovers, and like that's the end of that.
A really, really brutal night for them.
Yeah. So like I got up today thinking, well, what did I think about Tennessee-Baltimore again? Like I watched every minute of it, but like it's already, you know, it's far enough away already. But.
That team was so good for a few reasons. Obviously, you had Jackson's season. And you have star players. The secondary, you've got a lot. There's a lot going right with the Ravens to justify. They're about even money to win the Super Bowl going into the weekend. Like that's a heavy favorite in a league where there's plenty of good teams. So that was big. But in this and also like coaching, don't you think? Like don't you think Baltimore? It's not just like what they've done with Jackson. It's everything. And Harbaugh, who's a Super Bowl winner, having been a special teams coach, and in this game. There were special teams penalties. There was a guy who called a fair catch and then went to block somebody, and instead of starting at the 20 for a touchback, the play happened at the 10, and they started at the 5. Like, things like that were not happening to the Ravens. Drop passes all over the place. You know, they had just big drops from lots of different players, and you had turnovers from Jackson. Jackson last year, and I have loved him since the beginning and watched him really closely, like Jackson ran like that, and his passing, I think, is generally underrated or underappreciated, but he fumbled all the time. And you had that playoff game against the Chargers, like he just fumbled all the time. They could not get there. And he had a couple of games like that, not many. And this game, the play was that strip sack. I'm like, oh. Then there was an interception after that. Still ended up with massive numbers, but the turnovers got him beat and the fourth down.
Right, the fourth downs. They went 0 for 4 on fourth downs.
0 for 2 on fourth and 1
right.
After being 8 for 8.
Right.
And the second one of those was there's just a lot of things that were just off with them. And he goes, Dan Fouts called it, the longest quarterback sneak I've ever seen. He went right. And I wasn't there, and he tried to come back left, and this like they just got beat up front.
Yeah.
And the play was over. Plus, you have the Titans who never kick a field goal. It is so strange. Early in the game, like I walk around with little trivia like that. Like, oh, Tennessee has not kicked a field goal in forever. And right down, they go down after the interception, right? Tennessee gets stopped to start the game. Baltimore gets picked off. And Jackson takes a penalty on the sideline. And Tennessee gets a first down or two, and it's third and long. And you have that play to Jonnu Smith, who makes the one-handed catch along the sideline in the end zone. Come on! And another one of their touchdowns was third and 14, maybe. Derrick Henry's pass was third down. Tannehill's run, like they just have been on this crazy hot streak on third down. So 28 points, 4 touchdowns, no field goals. Baltimore field goal, 50-yard field goal. Oh, thank goodness! Stressful. Derrick Henry, Bulldog. Is there a player in the playoffs who is more being talked about? Like more just people are excited about, wowed by Derrick Henry?
It's probably him, yeah, sure. Because they're probably the team that most average football fans knew the least about. So he's running for 180 yards a game. And you're just like, wow, who's this dude? Whereas, you know, Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, you know, the average fan knows more about the other guys, I think.
Rushing title, Henry. I think I heard whatever the number is. I don't know if it's 180, but he's gone over that whatever the number is, week 17, first round, second round, first player to ever do that. So he's going to be a free agent.
That number might be 160, I think.
Okay. He's going to be a free agent,
mm-hmm.
Henry. What happens? You're not supposed to want a running back.
Right.
You're not supposed to think that Tennessee is about Derrick Henry. They might be.
Yep. But
it's the exception if they are. Like most teams, we've seen all kinds of examples of the so-called or presumed superior running back going out. The other guy last year with the Rams, there's lots of this. Other guy goes in. We don't know what happens if Derrick Henry goes out, but you'd probably guess they would drop off. Their running would drop off.
Probably, at least noticeably, maybe. Yeah, it doesn't have to, but, you know, what they go to Deion Lewis if it's not him?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really get more opposite stylistically and like just, you know, size-wise. I mean, Henry's a monster and Lewis is a little scat back.
You love watching Henry run, you know, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, he's so big, but then he gets in the open field like that long one on Saturday night and he's like 4'5".
Yeah.
Just super fast. So he goes into free agency. 5 years? Rushing title? What is it? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
What happens? The likeliest scenario is almost definitely Tennessee finds a way to keep him on their team, especially if they go all the way. In which case, are we ever going to stop talking about this Tannehill bet if Tennessee actually wins the Super Bowl?
No, this will be one of the this will go down as one of the all-time Yeah, that's right.
I'm getting a tattoo.
It's Tannehill. It's an all-time great bet. I mean, it already is. The fact that he went in and sort of helped save their season and now they're here is incredible. For like that kind of speculative bet to have it be in year one of it being on that board this close is amazing to me.
It's just so random.
Right. Right.
I mean, I like to think about this kind of thing, but I don't have a history of these random sort of bet ideas. I've had a few in my life.
It's been up there all year, and every time that I mention it, it's just like, ha, 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 ha.
Now you can see it.
Right, yeah. Like, no, okay. I got to look at this. Like, I offered Joe a real look at this.
I offered Joe a buyout the other night.
Right, I saw that.
So it's 10 to win 200. There's no provision for winning the very first year. He was not in the league when we agreed to this. He was not on a team, right? Or he was a Dolphin?
No, he, I think, had just gotten traded to the Titans.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think he was on the Titans.
Yeah, he was never a free agent.
He was never a free agent.
That was a trade.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. I always seem to forget that.
Because the Dolphins are still paying him.
Okay.
Way more money than Tennessee is, which is awesome, too.
Yeah,
and the
right.
Super Bowl's in Miami. So if
the Super Bowl's in Miami. Do we want them? Who do you want?
I don't.
Do you want Kansas City?
Well, yeah, but I have money on the line.
Is that why?
So, yeah.
If you didn't have any...
I prefer not to have this end after 1 year.
The bet.
Yeah, the bet.
So you're rooting against for the Chiefs because of the bet.
Yeah, I'd probably be rooting for the Chiefs anyway. I love watching Mahomes.
I'm rooting for the Chiefs just because I like Mahomes a lot, and I feel like Tennessee, it's really cool. But it's also this sort of stick in the spokes of, like, get your passing game up to speed. And I think arguing about that on a one-year, couple of playoff game basis might be the most frivolous thing we could possibly engage in. And I think we will do a lot of it if Tennessee – I mean, we might already do it anyway. And that just sort of makes me nuts. Like, I'd like just for my own football fandom for – you know, last year we had a Super Bowl that was, 13-3? The Houston-Kansas City game yesterday, like, did my heart a lot of good. Because, you know, we've spent a lot of time here talking about that's where the league is. And, like, I'm not going to deny that it, you know, that could shift. But I think everything that happens in the league on a week-to-week, game-to-game basis is cause for, like, some sort of, oh, we got to correct this now. And I don't think that's right. I think by and large, you still would rather be Kansas City than Tennessee, I think. So I'd like to see Kansas City win to prove that. You know, like, I just don't think you're going to win consistently running the ball like crazy and just, you know, really how the Bills have looked for most of the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that's, you know, that's the way to do it. And so I guess philosophically I'm rooting for Kansas City, but I also just really like, I love watching Mahomes play too, like Joe said. So I'm on the Chiefs.
Yeah, Chiefs. Right. I agree. Chiefs are a popular team. Who doesn't like the Chiefs? Raider fans? Like, Chiefs are fine. We're fine, aren't we? With the Chiefs?
Mostly, yeah. For a little while there when they were beating the Bills in these games that it seemed like the Bills maybe had the better of the play, but they'd make mistakes and the Chiefs would win. The Chiefs were kind of in my hair with Alex Smith there. I'm talking like 5-7 years ago.
So you'd be bitter about that.
A little bit, but yeah.
They were never offensive.
No, right.
Because of that.
I like Mahomes. Yeah, they were more like a team that would beat you and you'd go, how did I do that? Come on. But not like they're not in my blood. I'm not mad at them.
Well, the Titans story being written, and of course, based on what has happened in the playoffs, at least, is Henry. It's how no one can stop him. The totals are off the charts, and that's why they're winning. Tannehill had a great season for them. And in this game, he threw two touchdown passes. He ran for another. It wasn't like he was useless in this game. I liked the Ravens and the under in the game because I thought that what New England did against Tannehill was a sign that Baltimore should be able to do the same thing. And, you know, they didn't throw very much in this game either, but again, it didn't matter. The story is Henry on that team. But part of the Titans story for me is it's similar to how I feel about Lamar Jackson and just in terms of like the NFL overall, and that's every team could have had him. Any team could have had Tannehill. And I'm not saying that any team should think they'd be better off than they are. Maybe the Bills would be. Maybe a lot of teams would be, but not every team would be. With Jackson, maybe it's just about every team would be better off. Yeah, Most teams would be better off.
It's hard to argue that the MVP of the league wouldn't make your team better, regardless of who you've got at quarterback.
So Mahomes and the Bills has really never been my fight. Like, I just, you're more that. You're more about how the Bills could have had Mahomes.
Yep.
And they obviously could have. But for me, like, why they don't, I can take it. I can live with it. I would rather have a coach, whoever it is, Sean McDermott or anybody, want the new quarterback right away. I think they expected it to happen with Taylor leaving, but Taylor changed course on them and stayed. Yeah. But still, it would be up to them. And they decided to put off, McDermott decided to put off quarterback for a season, made the playoffs anyway, right? So Mahomes was obviously the guy that was picked with the Bills pick. Okay, you can say that. Watson, same thing, you can say that.
Right.
Tannehill is like a reminder that these teams just aren't very good at this. And here was a guy that was sitting there for anybody, you know, I don't want to say make the wrong comparison, but there are comparisons through the years of guys that are just like almost forgotten about. But there's ability and the right fit, and then they, you know, get there. And so he is that. He is somebody you could have had. And, you know, the Bills weren't going to do that. There was no talk about that, no consideration given to that. Once they get to Allen, they're done. They're done looking.
Yeah.
Until
they're done with Allen.
Until they're done with Allen.
Yeah. And we'll see how year three of Allen goes, whether or not year four has this feature, like a Tannehill. Like, I think we agree that there's almost no way they would do that this offseason, but if next season doesn't go as well, doesn't show signs of progression, then if they decide to still continue to proceed with Allen, they might sort of, try to guard against having a whole season get away from them by having someone in the wings that's maybe a little more established, maybe some version of this, if a guy that is that good again. But who knows if the guy's that good? You know, that's a part of it, right? Like, sure, I wanted the Bills very late in the draft process to pick Mahomes. I didn't like him for like 2 months leading up to the draft because a lot of stuff I read. And then one day I just sort of realized, like, no, whoever I'm reading, they don't know either. Like, just go do this. So, like, I'm not the Bills blew it because I didn't know. I wasn't in here campaigning. I just, in the last few days, I said, do it. You need one of these guys. Let's just try this. And, you know, who knows how that would have turned out with him here. I mean, he's obviously spectacularly talented and gifted. But, like, I think to go too hard at it would sort of spin you into a place where you're trying to sound like you knew what was going to happen. And of course you don't. Like, that's the premise. The premise isn't, I know this guy's going to be great. The premise is, he might be, and nobody knows, and you need one. So
that
try
is
it.
Such a big point and a big distinction that people have to actually listen to when you say it.
Yeah.
Because that's totally accurate and fair and important. Like, for you, it's, could have had Mahomes. It's also, wanted Tebow. For me, it's
right.
Could have had Jackson, and you also felt strongly about Jackson.
Yeah.
It's also, Loved the EJ idea.
Right.
I mean, I've never criticized him for EJ Manuel. I thought it was worth doing. What happens if it goes wrong? You get out and you go to the next guy.
Right.
You're not winning the Super Bowl probably anyway. So they, you try it and then you go to the next guy.
And the best thing I think you could say about their EJ experience is that they did not sit there very long at all.
That was appropriate.
They got the hell out of there pretty fast.
Now, you could end up being a team here now or, well, this is also true and funny, Miami with Tannehill. Where you think you plateau.
Right.
We plateaued. And if, for no, there would be other reasons, but if, even if there weren't, at least for the sake of the perception of your organization, you just move on. Got to move on. Coaches get fired for that. Quarterbacks get fired for that. We can't have it look like we're not on top of this. So we will go sell hope. We will go get somebody new.
Right.
Even for Miami, it being, it's going to be nobody for a while. Josh Rosen, but it's going to be nobody right. for a while. And then we're going to sell you on this. We're going to sell you on the idea that this is a good plan. And so you just don't want to end up going too long without somebody who can play. And Allen has, I'm not going to say different. I mean, I question certain things about him, as you would know. But he's qualified for the next
Yes.
season. Like, he has earned the next season.
Yep.
I just wouldn't, if I were the Bills, I wouldn't want to assume that they're all set. And part of the evaluation is, you know, once you do this, especially when you invest so much in it with such a young player, is, you know, when can we say, when will we know that we're all set? And that comes in the form of the big contract. And you want to wait, in my opinion, you want to wait as long as possible. Look at the Rams. Look at some of these teams. Mm-hmm. Look at, you know, the Dolphins were one of these teams. With a guy
right.
that now is playing for the AFC title.
Right. That has to be, I think, a part of the reason that you end up getting frustrated as an organization, and certainly if you're playing at all to your fans, that your fans get frustrated, is that when you give a guy that contract, it symbolically says, we've arrived at a point in time where this guy is this good, and we are all set. And then when that doesn't start happening for you in the standings, it's all the more frustrating because you're done presumably with the developmental phase of his career. You are to, okay, he's getting paid $20 million a year now, so I guess he's good. And like, okay, why did we didn't make the playoffs again? I thought we had our quarterback. What? And then it's time to take him out back now. It's because you're not as interested in staying the course because you're paying the big money and you're not getting the return on that, and so you want to get out. So yeah, I would encourage the Bills to ride that rookie deal out. I mean, just as far as you possibly can.
Sometimes I think I want to change my framework for all this and just have it be maybe more like the 70s, where this is your quarterback, this is your coach, and we'll just talk about it again in 5 years. But I don't really want to do that, and that would not be any fun either.
Right.
Because I have a lot of fun talking about the possibilities. Once there are no possibilities, I'm missing something. You know, this season I've got the same coach and the same coordinators and the same quarterback again. A part of me is like, ugh.
Yeah.
Is there a hockey game? Like a little bit, I'm a little bit sort of stuck when that happens. 803-0550 is our number for your thoughts on quarterbacks and Tannehill and Jackson and all of this, anything we've talked about, and the playoffs overall. And we will talk some more after this break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So while y'all at it right now, take care of y'all bodies, you know what I mean? Don't take care of y'all chicken, you feel me? Don't take care of y'all mentals, because look, we ain't lasting that long. You know, I had a couple of players that I played with that, you know what I mean? They no longer here no more, they no longer. So I mean, you feel me? Start taking care of y'all mentals, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken. So when y'all, you know, ready to walk away, you walk away and you be able to do what you want to do.
All right, there he is, the sage, Marshawn Lynch. Did you see how Lynch, you read the story about how he went into the Green Bay locker room after the game and went for Rodgers' jersey, and then Rodgers sort of, he just obliged him, laughed about it, like happy to give it to him, traded jerseys, right? Yep. I think you know, I love this area. I love the jersey exchange area because I want to know everything about it. I mean, wouldn't there be times when the player being asked wants to reject?
Right. Like, who are you? I don't really want your jersey. I think Aaron Rodgers, Marshawn Lynch is close enough to, like, I mean, Lynch is a super huge figure in the game. He's not had the career Aaron Rodgers has had, but, like, he's a star. And
college teammates, right? Weren't they?
Not teammates, but same school.
Lynch is after Rodgers.
I think Lynch is after him. Yeah, okay. I don't know if they cross at all at the very beginning of Lynch's college career, but regardless, sure. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Who's another Seahawks running back? A bunch of guys got hurt, so I don't want to say a
Travis Homer can't go to Rodgers.
Right.
But how does he know that?
I think
Does he just know it?
You just have to know.
My experience in life has been not everybody knows these things the same.
Right.
Especially when it comes to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody knows where the lines are drawn.
So I think what I'm gathering from you bringing this up, and I guess I would admit the same curiosity, I'd like to know some of those stories. Like, are there those stories? Like, I don't think anyone would ever want them to get out, because even the star guy would not want to embarrass the other guy. But some people have had to have, I think, witnessed exchanges like that are just, what just happened there?
Well, I don't know if there's a website that has all these, but I'm thinking about how when the Ravens were here, it was Devin Singletary and Jackson. And Singletary, they might have played high school together.
Or even, like, younger than that, even.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was some history between Devin Singletary and Lamar Jackson, and I don't know anything about the story, but I remember seeing it from the stadium. Singletary takes his red Bills jersey off, and Jackson is with him. There's photographers all around, and that jersey is going to Jackson, and Jackson gives Singletary a purple Ravens jersey that he has not just worn.
Right.
They're wearing white. He has, like, a backup.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe that's something. Maybe that's, like, not giving you my real one,
right?
But I don't know. I don't know anything about the hobby. We need the hobby to investigate.
Right.
This.
I saw Lamar Jackson on the field after they played the Jets, And it's like he had like a sporting goods store out there.
Really?
Like he's just there were guys lined up, and he's just signing jerseys for guys. It's like he's
for guys on the Jets.
Yeah, there was like 3, 4, 5 of them, like that kind of thing. So like you know, I think he might be or that you know PR whoever that would be. There's I don't know. He's a big enough star. He probably just has his own person now, like a team employee that is just you're in charge of Lamar. Because he's the MVP of the league, and I think guys warrant that kind of attention. And maybe a part of that gig is having a shopping bag full of jerseys at the end of the game.
Yeah.
So all the DBs that want to get their hands on one get accommodated.
But there's a difference, at least in the collecting world, if not also among the players, there's a difference between a gamer
sure.
and like a doesn't even have to be a replica, just like another jersey, but it's not game worn. Like, I don't think this is the case. But I wonder, does it matter if the guy ever wore the jersey? Like, did he wear it for a practice, or did he wear it in warm-up or something? Like, hockey players wear different jerseys throughout the season. The Sabres will have the organization will have the players in different warm-up jerseys from time to time and then auction those off. There's a difference between a jersey that was ever worn by a player and not ever worn by a player. So what are you giving? But he's autographing it, you're saying.
Yeah.
After the Jet game,
yeah.
Maybe also with Singletary.
That's my recollection. I hope I'm not mistaken, but I'm almost sure I saw like a thing making the rounds on Twitter of him just signing jersey after jersey for Jets guys.
That's awesome.
When the game was over. Yeah, like so
have
is there
some dignity, Jets.
Is there even you know, like, okay, Marshawn Lynch and Aaron Rodgers. Lynch goes and seeks out Rodgers in the winning locker room after the game, and they do that. Is there like a lower tier of that between slot corners? You know, like is there a guy on the Seahawks that's going, guy, who's the fourth corner on Green Bay? I'd really like a Green Bay. You know, it's probably if they have some history together, like Lamar and Devin Singletary that you point out. But I just wonder if there's this sort of underground of this sort of the guys that are the 50th guy on the roster exchanging with the 50th guy on the other team sort of thing, like depth players.
I also like the corner going up to the receiver, depending on what kind of day either of those guys have had. Can the corner go up to the receiver? Like, you know, good battle.
Yeah.
Does the receiver, in terms of notoriety, would usually outrank the corner. So does the receiver be like, no.
I'm not doing this. You limited me to 3 catches.
I'm going to the other. If the Green Bay guy goes to Tyler Lockett or Metcalf, like, what do you think? And then Metcalf goes, I'd rather go to Devontae Adams.
It is really cool. Like we are so at
asking for the prom.
We are at the stadium and usually sitting side by side in the broadcast booth for home games. When the game ends and that whole scene sort of starts unfolding around midfield, but we're also starting the show and I'm usually not able to watch it. Plus we're kind of far away. That's something I would really like to watch closely, like through binoculars, like who's talking to who's going to whom, whose jerseys are going. Cause there seems like there's a lot of activity out there, but I can't really keep track of it from the distance we're watching it from.
Yeah. You need to record it and watch it, you know, right. To pause it a few times.
Right.
Alex is on the air. Hi, Alex.
How are you today, boys?
Good, thanks.
Good. So I don't necessarily have any firsthand knowledge of how it works with the NFL, but I can tell you that I had a close friend of mine played in the NHL for years, and they actually do not get to keep any of their jerseys, their game-worn jerseys in the NHL. It's actually in the CBA. You know, they're all numbered, and they have serial numbers on the inside, so the players themselves – through, say, the team store, will buy 50 of their own jerseys from, you know, say, if they play for the Sabres, say, the Sabres store. And anytime they want to do a jersey swap, they had purchased that jersey themselves, either to give away at a charity or if they, you know, they're going to swap with another player, which, you know, does frequently happen. But they can physically not give their game-worn jerseys away. They're owned by the team / the league.
Yep, very good. Thanks, Alex. I think I'm almost positive that the NFL jerseys have the codes on them too, to authenticate them. That's big business. I remember Tom Brady's jersey being stolen after a Super Bowl. Was it the Atlanta Super Bowl? His jersey was stolen. Like,
right.
I don't know. I think there's a code on each one, like a barcode or a serial number or both. Zaire is next. Hello, Zaire.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi.
What's up?
I just wanted to talk, I noticed that you guys were talking about quarterbacks earlier, and I'm mostly in the car mostly all day, so I hear the whole entire day's worth of show that you guys do on this radio station. But I hear a lot of people talking about how Josh is not good because based on his completion percentage and he's at the bottom of the league and this, that, and the third. And I'm really sick of it. Like, it blows my mind. I don't think that these people watch the actual football game. They just judge based off of the stats, and stats can be flipped either way. Prime example, I watched the playoff game not too long ago. I watched it back. And I thought that Josh played a hell of a game. I saw a lot of drop passes out there. I saw some bad routes.
In Houston?
Yeah, in the Houston game, the playoff game, yeah. I saw a lot of drop passes by Duke himself. He threw some beautiful balls to Duke that was just dropped. And I don't think that his completion percentage is all on him. Like, I think the completion percentage like thing can be skewed very bad for Josh at times. I just think that it's the sum of parts around him as well, and it's not just him. Like, if Duke comes down with a couple more of those balls and John Brown doesn't jump to try to stay in bounds for whatever reason, like, if he just stay on the ground and caught the ball, we probably could have had a touchdown on that drive. I saw him start unraveling at maybe the two-minute mark in the fourth quarter, and I'm pretty much okay with that because he's still young. He's still learning. This is his first playoff game. And for him to keep his composure for that long, while the defense was unraveling and the offense wasn't really doing much, I thought it spoke a lot of his maturity and how well that he's been training during the offseason. And I think that this offseason, when he comes back, paired with Daboll again and even more weapons, is only going to get exponentially better.
Okay. Thanks. I'm not sure what we're trying to figure out. As far as our conversations go, no one's ever blaming anybody for everything or absolving anybody like fully for something. Like, it's always a team game, so that's not lost on anybody in here. He was 32nd in the league in completion percentage. Neither do I think that that's skewed, nor do I think that that's only identifiable to people who didn't watch him play. You know, like, if you're citing stats, then somehow you're accused of not watching the games too. There's time to do both of those things.
Yeah, there's no way to really flip that number around and make it look good. Like, that's some of the phrasing that Zaire used too. Like, you know, stats, you can manipulate them. Like, no, it's a bad number. Like, everybody gets drops. Like, so, you know, and no, it's not, you know, that's kept track of. So it's not the same for everyone. And I agree, there was some bad luck on that front for Allen in the Houston game. He could have had a touchdown. It was a beautifully thrown ball to Duke Williams that Duke Williams just did not bring in. But really, the biggest number, I think, that gets referenced in here is 19 points a game. If he completes 55% of his passes, or 58, like he improved to this year, but they score 27 points a game, fine. Like, just that, if you get a couple of big plays that you didn't get this year, next year, and that's the progress we see, and the completion percentage really doesn't improve noticeably, I'm not going to be dwelling on completion percentage. I need production. So that is helped by completing more passes and keeping drives going, but it also can be done away by a 65-yard pass that we only saw him complete once or twice this whole year.
I agree with that. I'm not dwelling on it. No one's dwelling on it. But last is last, and I bring it up just to as part of a point that I think is important to make in the conversation about Allen, because while progress is good and important, it's being actually good that it's about, you know, like, it's, you can't just live off being perceived as getting better. You actually have to be good at it, not just improved, because the whole thing was a commitment for a certain amount of time, and improvement was basically good enough for some of that time, maybe all the way up until now, you might say. Maybe even further. I don't know. But it's about actual quality. And last is last. So that's why it's useful to me. But of course, it's definitely not everything. Nothing is ever one guy's fault entirely. He also had two easy interceptions dropped. Don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Roby was the player on both. One would have been a walk-in touchdown. You know, I don't know what it is. Like, he had a pretty good year getting away with some stuff, especially later on. Jerry is next. Hello, Jerry.
Yeah, hey guys. I'm calling about the jersey thing. There was a article in the news about a month ago talking about the same thing and how the players actually contact each other before games and try and set this all up. But sometimes you do see a guy come in like Marshawn did yesterday and out of the blue try and get a jersey. But they're all set up ahead of time. And
yep.
They just it's become the biggest trend in the league. I mean, guys are doing this constantly now. And, you know.
So. I love it, but it might be like the prom where you don't want to get no, so you have to ask somebody else if the other person will say yes, because you don't want to have to reject somebody and you don't want to be rejected. Or am I doing too much I don't know, channeling from my past by admitting that I obsess about these nightmarish memories.
Did the prom not go well?
I guess it didn't.
Yeah.
Good. Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah, no, I think I'm thinking the same thing when I watch that. I guess I didn't think about it being set up ahead of time. That makes a lot of sense if that's the case. But even then, still, yeah, right. Be like, wait, who's this that wants my jersey? No, I don't want his. I want that guy's. So, who are the intermediaries in a thing like that? I mean, there's probably a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, I want to know everything. There's an ESPN article. The caller mentioned there being an article. Listener has tweeted me a link, and I intend to read it. So there. I want to know everything about NFL player jersey swap protocol. Maybe there's a movie. Probably not.
Yet.
Not yet. Yeah, no. Okay. Sal coming up. Let's hit the Astros penalties when we come back. Not only have the manager and general manager of the Houston Astros been suspended for a year for cheating back in 2017, they've both also been fired. So there's that. And then what happens to Boston, which has been accused or found out?
I think there's an investigation. I'm not sure if it's reached the found out stage, but Cora is prominently implicated in the Astros thing, and now the Red Sox are on deck for that. So I would think he's probably bracing to get fired and suspended, or suspended and fired as well.
Most reporters seem to think he'll get at least as long a suspension as A.J. Hinch did. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Sal Capaccio coming up soon. This is WGR.
I have higher standards for the city and the franchise, and I'm going above and beyond MLB's penalty. Today, I have made the decision to dismiss A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. We need to move forward with a clean slate, and the Astros will become stronger, a stronger organization because of this today.
Do they work again? That's the owner of the Astros, Jim Crane. I would say yes, especially Luhnow, but it might be more than a year. Might be...
Does somebody hire him to just sort of wait until the suspension is over? Because he's suspended, he can't work.
No, I would think after his suspension, maybe another year, but maybe not. He gets into some analytics department.
Yeah.
And these things do fade away.
Yeah, except in a really gnarled up, nonsensical almost sort of way, when you commit crimes, if you will, against the sport as opposed to the outside world, those things usually last a little bit longer. It seems to me like the ultimate crime is one that is that violates the game, as opposed to DWI or spousal abuse, whatever. Like those things, teams I think tend to just hope everyone forgets about. And I think usually we do. And people just sort of keep on working or serve some time and then keep on working. But when you're caught in the middle of something that really doctors the outcomes of games, maybe that'll stick for a little bit longer.
Steroids were seen that way largely.
Yeah.
It was within players in as opposed to this, which is more organizational. But those guys made it back, not the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is the writers,
right.
And the writers have their problems evaluating talent,
right,
in a lot of ways. Yep. It's a good debate what should happen to these guys. And I only can find one outcome that I can really sort of back up. And it's this. You can't take the wins away. College sports takes the wins away. College sports finds that you had a player who was ineligible, so therefore that national championship game we all watched, nope. The Heisman you won, nope. And that's just pointless.
There's no vacating championships.
Right, right. That doesn't work. Would you still do what you did? Maybe many times people would do what they did. Like the win, the feeling of that win, while tainted, is what you're in it for. And you'll never forget it. So I don't know. People would be different, but I don't think taking wins away really accomplishes anything meaningful. Suspensions are fine. Suspensions have some weight. These have weight. But I still also would say I think a lot of people would trade a year suspension for a World Series. Like maybe if that was it. Now, these guys got fired too, but
right.
I think just for that, the suspension is what baseball decided to hand them, and then the Astros did their thing. I don't know. Like, the suspensions are, it's pretty good. It's pretty serious. You just ban them. The only decision I can really fully back up is just ban these guys. What do you want? What does hockey want? Hockey fans or media or just commissioners, teams, whoever. Some people have pretended for decades that hockey really wants to be rid of dirty play. But they don't. Because if they did, they would get rid of dirty play. They would just do it. They would punish teams who hired guys who played dirty. They would ban the guys who did things instead of giving them two games off all the time, which is just ridiculous. They would do that. So it's clear that they don't want to get rid of it. And I can understand why. It's something to talk about. Fans get emotional about it. Otherwise, what have you got? You've got just like a board game. Hockey can just be sort of, right. Oh, everybody's really good. Right. Great. Did you have fun watching it? Yep. So if you ban them, like what did I say last time? If a guy in your fantasy league cheats, he's just out of the league. That's it.
Right.
He can go play in another league.
These guys, try someone else. Right.
Yeah, these guys can go to Japan and manage in Japan if Japan will have them.
Yeah.
If that's what happens to them, good. Yeah. But it's their mistake.
I commend the Astros for taking the extra step. I want to applaud baseball for being so stern, and I expect the same, and it should be the same for the Red Sox. If they are found to have been, you know, in any way in the same sort of boat with the Astros. I mean, Alex Cora is the one now non-Astros employee whose name really jumps out in that investigation. It sounds like it was like his idea, basically, to like set that up the way he did. And now the Red Sox are accused of having done the same thing when they won the World Series a year later. And like I don't know if they're going to fire him too, but I'm expecting him to get suspended for the year.
One thing I read on Hinch was that he was not in favor of this sort of operation, but it was like it was Cora's doing, and a couple times he tried to sabotage it, but ultimately went along with it. Like just sort of, okay, well, I'm not going to stop it, I can't stop it, or I won't stop it, but I'm not for it. And that didn't help him.
No.
And that there's a lesson in that. There's a lesson from Sunday school in that. You know? I mean, it's not good enough
right.
for you to. How did Seinfeld end?
I can't remember.
They saw the crime being committed.
And they didn't
they stood there and they went to jail.
Yep.
It's not good enough to just stand by. And this guy was the supervisor. This guy was the manager of the team. Sal Capaccio after sports. Mike Shope and the Bulldog. We've got lots more football today. Stay tuned. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.